Mark chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 1 all the way to verse 20. This is reading of God's Word. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it has scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. The others are the ones whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, grant us an ear that hears your word, that hears your voice through your word. And we pray that your spirit will working in us, will work in us so that we may truly hear and believe and have the ability to obey in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let us have fellowship with you. Let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through your word. And let us once again see the wonderful things that he has done and accomplished for us. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been looking at the book of Mark for some time now, whenever we have the Lord's Supper. Last time, we have looked at Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35, the end of the chapter 3. Today, we'll just continue and look at Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. The parable of the sower and soils. A very familiar parable. I'm sure you have already heard many sermons on this parable. We'll begin by reading Psalm 78, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings," or NIV translation, "I will utter hidden things, secret things of old." As you could see in Jesus Christ, that is fulfilled. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 say, "All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." So even as he speaks in parables, he is fulfilling the scriptures. And what are the parables about? What do they speak about? Verse 11 of our passage says, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables." In verse 26 of our chapter, a parable begins with this phrase, "The kingdom of God is like," and he starts a parable. So obviously there, that parable is about the kingdom of God. In verse 30 in our chapter, Jesus says, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it?" The parables of Jesus Christ speak of the kingdom of God. Does our parable that we're reading in chapter 4 of Mark is the same? It shows us the reality of heaven. It pictures heaven. And we must keep this in mind as we look at it. Otherwise, we'll interpret it in a wrong way. Before we look at this parable, we might want to ask, what is the reason for the parables? Why does Jesus speak in parables? Verses 11 and 12, it says, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understanding, otherwise they might return and be forgiven." The parables reveal the kingdom of God, but at the same time, they hide it. It reveals it, to some people, but for others, it hides it. Again, here we see two kinds of people. Verse 9 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we have two kinds of people, those who are given ears to hear and those who are not. Matthew chapter 13, let us go there together. It's somewhat long, but let us read it together. Chapter 13 of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read it from verse 11. Remind yourselves, we're looking at these two kinds of people. Verse 11, Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand and with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. But that is not the case. But, verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. There's one kind of people, for the heart of this people have become dull. They will not hear. Even though they hear, they cannot hear. But you are different. We see and we hear. And we understand. And we know. And we believe. For those who He has chosen, He gives, He grants ears to hear. It's not because you are smart. It's not because you have this ability to understand God. But the ears that will hear, they are granted to you. But for others, they will never understand. They will never believe. What do the parables of Jesus show and tell? Simply, we could state, the parables show us and tell us that Jesus Christ our Lord is fulfilling the kingdom of God. And He is fulfilling the kingdom of God through His word. But many see but never perceive. Many hear but never understand. The parables of Jesus are about heaven, and the parables themselves have the characteristic of heaven. Just like heaven, Heaven, just like heaven is revealed to some and hidden to the others, the meanings of the parables are revealed to some and hidden to the others. Our parable is definitely not about examining oneself to see whether he or she is bad soil, so that he or she may do his or her best to become a good soil. This parable is not teaching you that you should examine yourself to see whether you are bad soil. And if you conclude that you are bad soil, then you do your best to become a good soil. No. That is not what it is teaching. Our parable is about the kingdom of God. It is the reality of kingdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through our parable, reveals the kingdom of God, the reality of heaven, the characteristics of heaven. He shows how he is establishing the kingdom of God and furthering the kingdom of God through his word. Let's look at this parable then. The sower sows the seed. And we have four different cases. First one, some seed fell beside the road. What happens? The birds came and ate it up. Second, other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. What happens there? Immediately it sprang up because it had no root, but it withers away. Third, other seed fell among the thorns. What happens there? The thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crops. Fourth, other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us the seed is the word of God. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. So he explains this parable. The seed is the word. In Matthew chapter 13, same story, there in verse 19 it says, the sower is sowing the word, but it says there, the word of the kingdom. And sower is our Lord Jesus Christ. He sows the word of the kingdom. And he does that even today through his churches. Jesus Christ comes, and through his word, he establishes and furthers his kingdom. But not all hear and accept. Some reject. But don't take that as if God's plan is not working. Just because too many people reject God's word, don't think that God is powerless or that his plan is not working. Everything happens according to his plan. The number of people who will be saved is already predetermined. It's not that number will increase just because you and I work harder in sowing. But that does not give us any excuse not working hard, because it's not we believe that we go out and work harder and we will gather more people. No. We do that because it pleases God. And our desire is to please Him. Everything happens according to His plan. The plan of God from even before the foundation of the world. And you might ask this question then. Why then some people hear but they don't hear and they reject? Why? No matter how much you try, but never lose hope, because it is according to God's plan. If He has chosen that person, then he will believe one day. But still, why then? Well, Jesus answers us in John chapter 10. Let's go there together. John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, verse 25, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why do they reject? Because they are not his sheep. But we should not make that conclusion until whether that person dies or you die. Because God's time is also according to His plan. So just because they reject right now doesn't mean they will reject tomorrow. But these people who reject Him all the way to the end, they are not God's sheep. It is not church has failed or you and I have failed. No. It is not God has failed to save that person. No. Through His word, our Lord gathers His sheep and continues to further His kingdom 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I hope that you will see this even as you see out in the world with your physical eyes. You might say to yourself, man, church is failing. But that is not the case. The true church goes on. And Jesus Christ, He furthers His kingdom every single day. It is hidden to the world. That's why the world neglects it. But don't think that God is powerless to save everybody. No, He has power to save all if that is what He desires. Our God who divided the light from the darkness in the first creation, He now came and divides the children of light from the children of darkness. Every single day He does this. Verse 15. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. Jesus explains this. When they hear, now that is very, very important, that they hear the word, but they don't truly hear. They hear physically. But immediately, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. So there is no fruit. And there are these kind of people. Verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, again, they hear the word. Immediately receive it with joy. Wow, they even receive it with joy. But verse 17, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So these people, they hear the word and they are even joyous. But because of the word, because of what they believe, they are now facing afflictions and persecutions. And when that happens, these people immediately fall away. Verse 18. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. Again, these are the ones who have heard the word. They heard it. But verse 19. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This third kind, they hear also, but this person is faced with too many worries of the world. And they have too many desires for other things. And they are deceived. The riches is their hope. The riches is their purpose. For these people, these worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter and choke the word. It choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. I want you to notice in all three cases, there is no fruit. No fruit that God desires. Now, of course, in a worldly sense, they're doing a lot of things. They're accomplishing many, many things. World might even praise that, these people. But no fruit. No fruit that God would desire. See, your value or your accomplishment, you have to understand, it's not what the world says you are valuable or that you have many accomplishments. It has to be what God says. Fruits that God would enjoy. Otherwise, it's a waste. Now, again, some people will hear it and believe it. And some people will sit there and go, no. They're not going to accept. And that's exactly what God says. It will happen. Outwardly religious people, or worldly religious people, and we know a lot of them, they're just religious. That's why, you know, these kind of people, they will do well whether they go to Buddhist temple or they come to church. It really doesn't matter. They're just religious. And they do this because of their own evil desires. Outwardly religious, worldly religious. But all are not the members of the kingdom of God. All these three cases, they are non-Christians. But understand, they hear the word, meaning that they come to church. It's not even talking about people who do not come to church, because they hear the word. The affliction and persecutions come because of the word of God, but there is no root, there is no true love for God and for His kingdom. For God says, Matthew 5 verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things, completely this world-centered. They live their lives this world-centered. Their whole focus is on this world and the things of this world. That's how they live. Actually, even reason why they come to church is to have the world. They pray so that they could have the world. Everything is about this world. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They all hear the word, and in the beginning they even hear it with joy. But the true ear to hear has not been given to them. In other words, the Holy Spirit has not been given to them. Because it is the Holy Spirit who causes us to understand and believe. These are not the true sheep of Jesus Christ, our true shepherd. You know, you see these people, they come to church, but a few years later, they just don't bother. They have given up. You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says this about those people. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have remained, they would have remained with us, but they went out, so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. These people who come to church for a few years and they're like, even they're so into it. And yet, their enthusiasm kind of fades. And they start doubt. And they fall away. But what God says is that they went out not because they were once saved and now they lose their salvation. No, God says that they went out because from the very beginning they were not of us. And I pray that we will not have these kind of people as our members of this church. But these things happen. God tells us. And you see these things happen. The road, the rocky places, among the thorns. These three cases, these first three cases, they do not show the failure of the Word of God. There is no problem with the sower nor the seed. It's the soil. The word is always effective. Go to Isaiah 55. I want you to read this together. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. Hear what it says. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What does he say? Rain, when it comes, is always effective. Rain comes and it does not return without watering the water and making the tree grow and be, you know, tree fruitful. Just like it, verse 11, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word is always effective, just like that rain when it comes to his people. It will cause those people to grow, to bear fruits. Fruits that God desires. So these people, the road, the rocky places, and among the thorns, it doesn't show the failure of God's word. It doesn't show the failure of the sower. Seed is the word, and the word is Jesus Christ. Our Lord sows himself and furthers his kingdom. And the amazing thing that I want you to understand today is that now he invites us, you, his people, in this precious work of his. We, his church, are participating in his sowing of himself. What a glorious work that you and I are part of. The first creation, when God created this earth, he says to the Adam, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now our Lord Jesus Christ in the new creation, he is multiplying 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times as he furthers his kingdom. And that is the reality of heaven. Heaven is growing. And that is what God wants you to see today, that heaven is growing. That God's plan is being carried out exactly. No matter what the world sees, no matter what the world says, the kingdom of God is growing, and it is growing exactly according to God's plan, exactly according to his time, exactly according to the number that he has chosen. And brothers and sisters, sowing always looks forward to harvest. Understand, when we sow, what is the purpose? It's the harvest. Harvest is the purpose. And you always have to remember that. Harvest. Heavenly harvest. That is purpose of our lives. Revelation chapter 14. Verse 4. These are the ones who have not been defiled with woman, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. First fruits. And if you go down to verse 14, then I looked and behold a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. The harvest is finished. Brothers and sisters, these first three cases, they are not you. And this is what you need to believe. And if you find yourself, your picture in those three cases, you must understand that is not how it should be. That's not you. And only way that you will change, so that you will not look like what you see in those three cases, is that you believe. You believe the word. And if you do not believe, see, when the word of the kingdom is preached and taught and you reject it, the only thing that you will be assured of is that you are not part of God's kingdom. That's the only thing you could be certain of if you reject His word. And it's not a good situation. Don't sit there and say, well, so what? Don't sit there as if it just doesn't matter. Whoa, it is serious, brothers and sisters. It is truly serious. Because those who have been given this ear to hear will hear. And you have to earnestly depend on your God that you have this ear to hear. It's not a good situation to just ignore. Yes, if you are truly God's child, then you will hear. And even if you don't believe that you're going to be fruitful, you will be fruitful. If you truly believe. Because your picture we see in verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. This is your picture. And how is this accomplished? How is this accomplished? John chapter 12 verse 24 says, truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. How is it accomplished? Because Jesus has died. The seed has died so that you will be fruitful. John 15 verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. There is your secret. There is your understanding. There is your faith. That Jesus abides in you and you abide in him. And you do that by believing, by your faith. Then you will be fruitful. 30, 60, and 100 times. Yes, in the eyes of the world, our life is a failure. And yes, we sin every day, but let us believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, and let us trust Him, and let us put all our hopes in Him. All of us who believe our Lord Jesus Christ, we are the good soil. And let no one tell you otherwise. But you need to witness that reality of you being good soil. How do you do that? You believe. You accept God's word. You trust this word. Because if you just hear and reject and you ignore in your lives, then the only thing that you truly witness is that you are not. But why would you do that if you are? Why would you do that? You are the good soil. Let us trust Jesus Christ and let us hear it and accept it and believe. All of us who believe, we are the good soil and we will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, come to Him with faith. Come to Jesus Christ who is the sower. And even today He is sowing. And that sower has overcome the world, and in Him we have already overcome the world. Come and eat and drink with our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is our spiritual nourishment. In order for you to grow, you have to feed upon Him. And once you feed upon Him, once you hear His word and accept His word and believe, you will grow. And not only you, but your brothers and sisters together, and even the brothers and sisters who are not yet believing yet, they will hear God's word soon enough and join us, so that the reality of heaven will be manifested. Brothers and sisters, you are the witnesses of this reality. You are the witness that the kingdom of God is furthering. You show it to the whole world. Brothers and sisters, we have to take our religion very, very seriously. It's not okay to be lazy in this. And it's not okay to postpone your dedication. Don't say to yourself, only if I do this, only if this is done, only if I'm through this, then I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to really live my life for the glory of God. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What if you die tomorrow? Then all your plans is just waste. It's today. You must act today. Right now.
And do that right now. Come to Him with faith. You trust Him. You accept His word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it is always effective. Just like rain, it causes us to grow and bear fruits. Oh Father, it will be our honor and joy that You will enjoy our fruits. The fruits that we bear because we are united to Jesus Christ, who is the vine. Oh Father, bless us. And through us, witness the reality of heaven. Through us, witness the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, how He even now furthers His kingdom. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.